Good evening, everybody. So I'm going to do the reading, but I'm reading from a different translation to what you may have. You might have the NIV, which some people call the New International or Nearly Infallible version. And I've got the ESV, which could mean English Standard, but I call Extra Sound version. So it'll sound slightly different, but here we are in Luke chapter 10. Verses 1 to 9. Jesus sends out the 72. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers, or laborers, are few. Therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I'm sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick in it, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.'" May God speak to us now through this. And if you're timing me, Chris, it's probably worth starting now, not adding the Bible reading bit in, because we'll be in trouble otherwise. Blessed to be a blessing. That's a very Christian, jargony sort of title, isn't it? Who would have thought of something like that? I did. This is where we are. But it's true, isn't it? We are blessed to be a blessing to others. We are to share what Jesus has done for us. Jesus loves you. It's the best thing I believe we could hear, because if we receive that, it transforms our lives. He loved us too much to leave us, as the Bible would say, dead in our sins. We needed him to die in our place, that perfect sacrifice. But he also loves us too much to leave us as we are, because he wants us to become more filled with his life and his spirit who transforms us. May we be open to what he wants to say and do in our lives. If you were here this morning, this little next bit is going to sound exactly the same as what I said this morning, but it's just a reminder for us that we are in a sermon series. This is the third part of what the Inspire movement call their way of life, which is based on Jesus' way of life. So tonight, we're looking at engaging mission, which is actually one of our values as a church. It's so important that we are ready and raring to go, ready to be used by God daily in what we call mission, the mission field of daily life, being aware of the promptings of his Holy Spirit within us so that we can share the love of Jesus. This morning, Peter was at Crag talking about using disciplines. And next, and Jeff will be here next week talking about sharing fellowship, and he'll be speaking at Headingley Morning next week on that too. Small groups are covering this material, and if you're part of a small group, it is intentional that the last two of these things have been, they're in a different order in your small group material. Don't be fazed by that. It is intentional. And if you're able to come here to this room on Saturday the 28th of March, all of this material will be brought together in a very practical way so that you can do something with it, even more so than the sermon series and the small group notes, all of which have great value. So, are you coming on the 28th? Some of you are, and that's wonderful. And I get an email every time someone signs up, and it makes my day. You know, I would really love, don't do it for me, do it for you, if more people could sign up to come on the 28th of March. Discipleship, as I said this morning, is about being sent to share in God's mission of love in the world through our everyday lives. And that's why this talk is about engaging in mission. And in the first two sermons in this series, which are worth listening to online, we've looked at the importance of a deep personal hunger for more of God in our lives and how using spiritual disciplines can help God to meet that hunger in us as he transforms us. This third sermon, as I said this morning, and then I'll stop talking about this morning, is based on the natural outcome of going deeper with God, namely the natural overflow of his life in our lives, or his love in our lives. We engage in sharing his love, or we engage in mission, as a response to his love welling up in us. Think of a glass that overflows with water. When we're full of the love of Jesus and the Holy Spirit, we share that even if we aren't planning on it. It radiates, it spills out, and other people around us get splashed. We have a contagious Saviour. His love is the best news ever. This morning, I was asking people, what's the best thing you've ever seen or heard? And somebody said, bird's eye fish fingers. I think what they meant by that is, yeah, fish fingers are awesome, but it goes without saying that Jesus is even more awesome. The word mission comes from a Latin word, missio, and Peter will correct me if I'm wrong. And this thing that theologians call the missio Dei is God's mission. We are, if we are in Christ, we are joining in. If we're following Jesus, we are joining in with God's mission. He's already revealed himself to the world. We can read that in Scripture. Jesus has done everything needed to bring hope to the world, to save us from our sins. But we are to share his love with others. God, do you know, God is able to save people without even using us. He really is. He is the God of the impossible. Yet how amazing. How amazing that he chooses to use people like us to share his love with others. Is anybody else blown away by that? I mean, I can only speak about my life with lots of authority in terms of the fact I know the stuff I do wrong. I know the stuff that gets in the way of my relationship with God and that just shows how broken and messed up a person I am. Yet he still loves me and chooses to use me and wants to bring me closer to him and help me be more effective in sharing his love. And it's the same for you if you're anywhere near as fallible and broken as I am. And he chooses to use people like us. That just blows my mind. But he sends us daily into the world on mission. And I wonder, are you aware of this? Are you aware of daily being sent by God? Here's a slide that was up this morning, and it's going to stay up for a while just so we can think about what it says. Am I aware of being sent into daily life by Jesus? Instead of just going through the day, going through the motions, am I aware that Jesus is sending me to these people and situations? And am I following the Spirit's lead within those situations, with those people? And if you can't read the bottom bit, it says, do you want help to engage in mission? Sign up for the 28th of March today. And if I can do that for you, if you want, just tell me at the end if you'd like to come. In the Gospels, we hear tons about the 12 apostles or disciples. We hear a reasonable amount, too, about Jesus' inner circle, Peter, James, and John. So we've got the 12, we've got the 3, but here in Luke chapter 10, we've got the 72. Where did these guys come from? They'd been following Jesus, spending time with him for quite a while. They'd seen him perform miracles. They'd heard his teaching. Some of these had been following him for quite some time. We don't hear about them much, but this was their turn to have a go. Linked in with the reading Chris read a moment ago when Jesus appears through the locked door and he says, peace be with you, and he breathes his Holy Spirit on the disciples who were scared and needed that peace. Linked in part of that reading is where Jesus says, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. And this was the 72's turn to be sent. To be sent by Jesus to do some of the things they'd seen him do. And I've been thinking about this week. Blessed to be a blessing. Blessed so that we can share something of God's life with others. Because we aren't just blessed for a nice fuzzy feeling. Jesus didn't die for us to give us a nice fuzzy feeling. He doesn't send his Holy Spirit into our lives to give us a nice fuzzy feeling. It's so we can be equipped. So we can be reminded as to who we belong to. So the hope within us can be renewed. So we can be equipped to be sent. Just as the 72 were, actually. But they went to do something slightly different to us. For one thing, they went ahead of Jesus. They were to proclaim that the kingdom of God was near. But they went ahead of the king. The King of Kings himself was following them. We won't have that experience. Because for us, we are co-workers with the Holy Spirit. And he's already in the world. I could be wrong here. I don't think we'll go to a place where the Holy Spirit is not already at work. But it's good to be reminded of where our help and power comes from. The 72 were preparing the ground for Jesus. They were spending time with the people they'd gone to meet. Verse 7 says, do not go from house to house. They were to spend quality time with the people who were open, with the people who would take them in. And they were also, verse 9, to heal the sick and to preach, to say the kingdom of God has come near to you. They were to share the love and power of Jesus in words and also deeds. And I've been wondering this week, what prevented the 72 from being a blessing? What prevented them from sharing the love of Jesus and being able to do those miracles among others? And I think the answer is either a lack of faith from some of the people they met or a lack of openness. In verse 6, we hear about this person of peace. If a son of peace or a person of peace is there, your peace will rest upon them. It's good that we've been sharing peace tonight. I'm glad we haven't done some of the stuff that we could have. Some people were closed to Jesus and to the message of the 72. We share the best news we've ever heard because it's the best news we've ever heard. We're not going to keep it to ourselves, are we? We're not going to keep Jesus to ourselves. If we did, that would be selfish. But if we try to share his love, if we try to tell other people about him and they aren't open, well, we have a choice. We can't make people listen. We can't make people be interested or choose to receive what they hear. We can't make them accept it, but we can share it anyway. And if we are convinced that they are not going to listen, well, we can keep praying for them, but we can go and share it with someone else. The 72 were told not to spend time, not to look to greet people on the road. They were to go to homes, which could be part of our mission strategy today. It's a bit weird, though, if we don't know the people whose house we're going to and we just arrive. But where people were open, they knew that they had an invitation. I don't know about you, but sometimes I find myself in a conversation with people who are not Christians, but sometimes the question comes from them. That's when I just know, there's a chance here to share something. You know, I haven't had to work at this. I haven't had to orchestrate this. Someone a few years ago I met at a wedding I used to go to uni with. We didn't know each other, but they said, are you happier now than when you were at uni? And I wasn't a Christian for most of my time at uni. So I was like, yes, and here's why. Bam. So it's really helpful to be open to what the Holy Spirit is doing in us and around us, because there's that phrase from the Bible, for such a time as this. Sometimes it really is a case that God wants us in that moment with that person in that place, and it becomes obvious to us. And those moments are wonderful. I don't know if you've had them. Let's pray for more. When we find someone who is open, who we might call a person of peace, we have an opportunity there to share some of the hope that is within us. Last week, Peter spoke about spiritual disciplines, things like prayer, reading the Bible, fellowship, and more. And these are ways that we grow. Peter helpfully said they are patterns and not padlocks. They're invitations for us. Peter referred to them as means of grace, meaning they are ways by which we can access God's grace and love and stay connected. But as I've been pondering this, yes, the disciplines are for us, but in our hands, they're also a means of grace for people who aren't yet believers. The 72 are an example of this. In verses 7 to 9, we see them eating and drinking and sharing fellowship with others. We see them talking. We know that they would have been praying. They got to know their hosts in the everyday stuff as well as the overtly spiritual stuff. Sometimes I think what can prevent us from living a more missional life is the fact that we sometimes think it's somebody else's job. Or maybe we're not aware of what God is prompting us to do. And as we get used to hearing God's voice more, which the Inspire stuff can help us to do, we will be more aware of what God's doing, more primed, more ready to respond. Deep down, I think one other thing that can prevent us from living an intentionally missional lifestyle is that we know God is perfect, all-powerful or loving, wonderful creator, completely pure and spotless, above all, yet somehow, possibly deep down, we might think he's made a mistake entrusting this to us. Or maybe that's just me. He doesn't make mistakes. Sometimes how we live can be part of the problem, why we aren't perhaps living as missionally as we could. Why we aren't seeing as much what we might call fruit, if you like. Perhaps we are part of the problem, but we can also be part of the solution. Our prayers can change from, yeah, Lord, please send anyone but me, to what Isaiah said, here I am, send me. Even if we're scared. God has wrested the hope of the world to cracked pots. Take heart. God believes in you. Jesus died for you. Nothing can separate us from his love when we have received that love. What's stopping you tonight? Either from receiving it for the first time or from asking for more, a greater closeness to him. This wonderful news that changes lives and people's eternity has been entrusted to us. We too, verse 9, are to heal the sick. We too are to tell them the kingdom of God. Tell anyone, the kingdom of God has come near to you. We too. Don't know if we believe this. We too are to cast out demons. We too, if God calls us to, are to raise the dead. We are to take the light of Jesus to places and people to which we are sent. And if you were to scroll a bit further down, if you've got your Bible open, I really like this bit. Verses 17 to 20. The 72 return, and we hear what's been going on. We hear what they've been getting up to. You might just want to look at that if you've got your Bible open. they returned rejoicing. Verse 19, I think, is really significant for us to hear tonight. It says, "Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy." I think that's the bit. Giving you authority over all the power of the enemy. Let's not let fear in these days of coronavirus stop us from sharing the love of Jesus. Let's pray protection on those we know and don't, which we have. But let's not live in fear ourselves. We've been given authority over all the power of the enemy. What Jesus did on the cross, dying, rising again, well, that's proved his authority. And at the end of Matthew, he says, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go." Once again, sent, blessed to be a blessing. That's us. We were on a conference this week as a ministry team, and one wonderful seminar that I went to was by a guy called Matt Summerfield. And he said something which really struck me. He said, "It's good and right to pray. But," he said, "even if Jesus doesn't answer any more prayers ever, what he has done is already enough. What he has already done is enough." It is, isn't it? It's even more still wonderful and miraculous that he does still answer prayers on top of forgiveness of sins, salvation, eternal relationship with him that gives hope for the future, and it's something that we want to share with others. All who believe can belong. This is the circle of your life. This is just something to think about. The circle of your life is nothing to do with Disney. It's to do with your life. And just think for a moment about the people who you interact with or see in a week. Yeah, people in your family, people at work, people on public transport, your neighbours, people at clubs or gyms that you might go to, people you play football with, whatever it might be. Who's in the circle? Whether it's obvious or not, I believe that it's often the case that the people who are in our lives are not in our lives by accident. It could just be that God has sent us to these people at this time, to this place, to share something of Jesus. Now, it's a saying, isn't it? We can't change our families. We can't choose our families. We are stuck with our families. If we have a job, we probably can't choose our work colleagues. If we live in a house, we probably can't choose our neighbours. And if we come to the Headingley evening gathering of Cornerstone Baptist Church, we probably can't choose who else comes. But we can realise these people are in our lives. And we can prayerfully ask if how God would have us respond to these people. Only you and I can impact these people in a particular way. And I'm sure there's at least one person in all of our lives where we might be the only Christian who they know. If that's true, I really hope that we're praying for them and seeing how God would have us respond to them. The next slide just asks the question, what one thing could I do to share God's love in word or deed this week with friends, neighbours, or work colleagues? You might think you've got nothing to offer, but that's not true, because God has placed you in your family. By his grace, you have found that job, or that church family, or that place to volunteer, and he calls you to be a witness with them. The passage that we've read shows something of Jesus' sense of urgency as well. The 72 weren't to take a lot with them. They weren't to settle down. They were sent on a mission. Jesus says that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray. Not just pray, but pray earnestly. That sounds like an urgent thing. It sounds like an active thing to do. Earnestly. Long for it. But know that when we ask God to send out more workers, that we ourselves are also workers. Maybe the best prayer, as well as please send more workers, is, Lord, please would you show me what you would have me do in response to being on mission with you. I've heard many times this week that the coronavirus is an opportunity for Christians, and I believe it is, to share the hope that we have, to bring peace to anxious hearts and souls. So just in response to this question here about what can I do this week to share God's love in word or deed, if we know anyone who's self-isolating, I wonder if we can do any shopping for them and leave it on the doorstep. If people haven't gone out and ridiculously bought far too much toilet roll and everything else. If they're self-isolating, maybe we could ring them or do some kind of video call. Practical things. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. We have an enemy who wants churches to close, who wants us all just to run for the hills and hide. But we have all authority over him. By engaging in mission, we claim the victory that Jesus has won. By telling stories of what God has done in our lives, we encourage each other, and we also trample Satan further down. Jesus knew that we were stronger together. Look in verse 1. He sends them out in twos. Fellowship is so important, and I'm really excited that that is the theme for next Sunday morning here. And in mission, some of you might have come here tonight hoping for some strategy that will take you, you know, help you to share Jesus in a sentence or something and see everybody you know put their trust in him there and then. You might be disappointed if that's what you've come for this evening. Because in mission, we need planned and unplanned. We need to be ready for the everyday stuff. Because when the courses stop and when the planned activities and mission trips stop, we're still on mission. It's really good that Crag and Headingley are running courses at the moment where we hope that people will receive the love of Jesus and grow in it. And it's really great that Crag, just to mention something else, have done their community day today where they share the love of Jesus very effectively with their neighbours. It's really good too that we have many great groups across the church that share the love of Jesus week in, week out with people who are searching. We need these things. But most mission is unplanned. Most mission is spontaneous. Jesus' whole life was mission. So it's really important that we're ready for that. We need to know that we are sent by God, blessed to be a blessing, or we will miss what he wants to do through us. A theologian once said, and this is my last slide, and I have nearly finished. Mission activities will be effective only if the Christians who participate are filled with the love of God and overflowing with love of neighbour. People who are not alive to God have no life to share with others. True mission must flow from authentic discipleship. I don't know about you, but I believe time is short. I believe people are dying without knowing Jesus. And I believe we have within us the remedy to that. I believe God wants us to be real with one another and with him. And that we shouldn't mess around. We shouldn't do church as lots of activities. We should be the church. We should share the love of Jesus every single day. However we can. But for all this to happen, for us to believe that we too have authority over the evil one, that God wants to do miracles through us, for all this to happen, We need to have an authentic relationship with him. A relationship that doesn't want to settle for yesterday's experience, but longs for more. And the Jesus I know longs for more for us. Engaging mission is mainly not about techniques or slick gospel presentations, although they have their place. It's mainly about how we live, moment by moment and day by day. And considering authentic discipleship, this is the last question I'm going to pose, just for internal reflection. And it's this. Is my life, thinking about your lives, is my life a testimony to the grace I have received? Is my life a testimony to the grace I have received? What I mean by that is, yours and mine, our current experience of Christian discipleship, our current experience of Jesus, do we wholeheartedly want that for someone else? Is our life attractive? Can people see the love of Jesus in us? I'm not trying to pull anybody down. I'm trying to call us up to look at Jesus again. To long to become more like him. To be encouraged to keep going. To sign up for the 28th of March. This is really great stuff we're grappling with. The stuff we're talking about tonight is most important than many other things we do as a church, actually. And if we take topics like this, questions like this seriously, they will help us love Jesus more, long for more of him, overflow with his love and his life and his power in our lives. And it will help us too to be more fruitful as a church in everything we do. As Chris reminded us, when Jesus saw those disciples who felt ill-equipped, beaten, scared, he said, "Peace be with you." And I would love to pray just to close this part and then I'll hand back to Chris. I'd love to pray for us. Father, thank you that we are blessed to be a blessing, that you have given us something that is worth everything. You've given us something worth sharing, and we pray that we would know your peace this evening, wherever we need it, and that we would know your equipping to be on mission with you day by day. Amen. If anyone wants to talk about what I've talked about or would like to receive prayer, I would very much love to make myself available at the end of the service, if that's appropriate for you. Chris.